You are listening to AWOL Radio here on 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo, radiowaterloo.ca, broadcasting to all of Waterloo Region. The 11th of May, 2018, Dan Keller in studio with you. Now we have some updates from what happened after last week's show. Let's start with mark your calendars. All out to the Canada-U.S. border at Wroxham Road on Saturday, May 19th. Open the borders, refugees welcome. Stop the racist far right. We are hoping allies can attend from all over Ontario and Quebec. We need to show support for migrants crossing at Wroxham Road. Let's be present on May 19 in large numbers. Ouvrons les frontières. Bienvenue aux réfugiés. Braquons l'extrême droite. May 19, Ouvrons les frontières, refugees welcome, Saturday, 11 a.m. at the Canadian-American border. More information on knowinislegal.org, Solidarity Without Borders, Solidarity Sans Frontières. They have Facebook, they have web pages, more information there. May 19th, check to see, we'll keep updated to see if there's a local contingent from Waterloo Region going. But if you can, get to Quebec, May 19th, south of Montreal, to counter the extreme right, the racist right, the bigoted right, as they march, as they organize, as they demonstrate against asylum seekers coming to Canada. Check out more information on that event, May 19th. While Canada has been quietly negotiating with the U.S. to turn the entire land border into a crossing, Sonis K on Twitter has been putting questions to some of the ministers. Minister Ahmed D. Hassan live now boasting Canadian officials connecting to 120 decision makers and 460 leaders in the U.S. to stop the issuing of U.S. visas to Nigerian separating families. Shameful. Minister Ralph Goodall explains the creation of a facility that can hold 500 to 550 people crossing from the U.S. to Canada at La Colle. We need to ensure this doesn't turn into a detention facility. That's a huge point. Minister Ahmed D. Hassan says safe third country agreement is good for Canada. Doesn't explain how. Why can't refugees decide where they want to live? Why must they apply and stay in the U.S. just because they landed there first? Freedom to choose is critical. Fantastic comments from Hassan. Hassan SK on Twitter, known as legal.org, as well as N Migrant Detention Network and several other important movements. Another update. So we talked about how Laurier Society for Open Inquiry wanted to put on an event with Francis Woodison. The event did happen. It went down on Wednesday. There was maximum 30 people or so involved that actually got into the event. 8 to 12 of those people were there to dissent against the event or against the speaker and to question and grill the speaker on their bigoted or racist views. Speaker, of course, being Francis Woodison from Mount Royal University, speaking against the ongoing efforts on indigenization of university spaces, who has long spoken out against indigenous rights. I remember she actually wrote a piece about yours truly back in 2011, attacking the no platforming of Christy Blatchford that went down. Again, in response to bigoted white nationalists or Canadian nationalists or anti-Indigenous speakers coming and spouting non-academic garbage or already discredited academic garbage on campus. There's freedom of expression, sure. What about academic freedom? What about the role of the university? And there has been much discussion on Twitter and I'm sure in other spaces as well on that discussion about free expression. Check out the blog, Daily Academic Freedom, from Shannon D. There's also several others. Anyways, the event that happened on Wednesday night. So, security. Laurier looks like a shoddy, low-security prison. They put up fencing. They put up 7-foot fencing, 6-foot fencing, another row of fencing, making the Bricker Academic Building look like a look even worse. It looks horrible in this picture. Ugh, take care of your buildings, Laurier. And then they put in security guards and they put in all this fencing. I don't know if those were supposed to be free speech zones. However, several dozen people showed up. Not as many as the event against Faith Goldie, but many showed up to confront the speaker or to at least protest against the event, work on a no platforming. It didn't happen. The speaker did speak. And one report back from Ann Terry on Twitter was, it included solid, definitely not racist argument that indigenous society did not have numbers or Italian systems, so why should we be studying those ways of knowing now? Other things that Frances Whittison talked about, according to Ann Terry, she talked for 30 minutes, zero sources or citations for any of the info she presented. Almost all of the examples she used were personal anecdotes. She was just a complete train wreck. I asked, there was a Q&A promoted, how did that go? Again, and Terry on Twitter responded, I can't stress this enough. The speaker offered zero evidence or data to back up her claims and offered only personal anecdotes and some drivel about lawyers being the only ones benefiting from indigenous study. So yeah, maybe a total of 30 people or so inside, 8 to 12 dissenters, according to Ann Terry, who was also critical of or worried that the presence of the 8 to 12 dissenters could be used to show support. Oh, now there's 30 people instead of 18. Plus the members of LSOI, Laurier Society for Open Inquiry, minus the press. There was a few people that came out to this. And again, this event, Laurier Society for Open Inquiry had to fundraise $5,000 for this event, for security, to pay Laurier Security to host a speaker to speak what Ann Terry described as just a huge nothing burger, other than the racist drivel she was spewing that got my heart rate going. So Laurier defended the speaker coming again in a, we talked about this last week with the president of UW saying, oh, we just need to hear these fascists out and then we can change minds and challenge them and show how. And basically McClatchy at Laurier said the same thing. President of Laurier said the same thing. Oh, we need to allow people to speak, and then we can challenge them and change minds. Completely ignoring academic responsibility and the responsibility that comes with academic academic freedom. And I saw this. I forget who mentioned this on or who tweeted this one out. Was you can't say you're for diversity and for inclusion and for creating an atmosphere of safety within an environment at a university, for instance, Laurier, and then also allow racists and folks with discredited academic theories to come forward and speak on your campus. I believe the tweet was, that's the price of being part of the diversity club. And the inclusion club is that you don't platform people that would bring harm to other members of your club or people that you purport to support. AOR Radio here on 102.7 CKMS, RadioWaterloo.ca. And again, check out the discussion, my Twitter account, Dan Keller. We discussed, asked a couple questions with Ann Terry, who was at the event. Apparently, and I can't stress this enough, the speaker offered zero evidence or data to back up her claims and offered only personal anecdotes and some drivel about lawyers being the only ones benefiting from indigenous study. Lindsay Shepherd asks three horribly constructed questions, then four or five of the dissenters that were there at the event called the speaker, Frances Whittison, on her ignorance, and it devolved into the typical drivel that arguing with this lot turns into, because arguing with folks that don't really care about the truth or care about facts and data, and this person, Frances Whittison, only gave personal anecdotes, didn't give data, didn't give academic study, had nothing to back it up. At a free speech event a couple weeks ago, or a week ago, that Lindsay Shepherd was at, it was just four people blabbing on and complaining, not bringing any data, not bringing what actual laws mean and how things would be considered protected, and how no platforming would be illegal. None of that. They just complained about this system, that they just cry about it being against them. The folks with the most power, white, well, that's pretty much the biggest commonality. Male is the other one, but not exclusively, nor is white, not exclusively. But it's the systems of white supremacy. It's the systems of racism that exist. Those aren't really up for debate that they exist. People might try, but again, facts. We can see the data. We can look at it. There's not peer-reviewed data that says the things that Frances Whittison argues. There's Frances Whittison's opinions and the opinions of others of other Canadian nationalists, of other people that believe that Canada and Canadians and the country that set up is superior to the Indigenous nations that existed and that Canadians have made and the British and the French have made treaty with. Anyway, so the talk went on. 30 people attended. 18 people were there maximum, or 20 people maximum for the actual event to bring in what the speaker was saying. Others were there to dissent against them and to challenge the speaker. And overall, as Aunt Terry mentioned on Twitter, it was a nothing burger. There was a racist that spoke on campus that was supported by the university to speak and was brought by the Laureate Society for Open Inquiry, who keeps bringing racists to campus for their unpopular opinions. Yes, racism is unpopular. There's reasons for that. So thank you to the recap from Aunt Terry about the event to share that. And that discussion all got started on Allison Rothberg's, Ali Rothberg's Twitter following, they were also making fun of, mocking might be a better one, the turnout for the event and also the ridiculous security setup where Lindsay Shepherd grifted Canadians out of $6,725 for the event. So security cost $5,000. Their group still made over $1,000 through the GoFundMe for the event. You can do a lot with that. They probably won't. They're not very good at doing anything. No hype on the event. They didn't talk about the event. They didn't live stream it. They didn't live tweet it. It was a very embarrassing overall showing by the Laureate Society for Open Inquiry and the rest of the white nationalists that have been supporting them through their goings-on. One of the funnier ones, Emmett McFarlane, National Post, is that what loser paper he writes for? Anyways, he's like, I find it funny that people are still blaming the media for Lindsay Shepherd and not the people that keep fighting against her. Of course, Emmett McFarlane, one of the first people to champion Lindsay Shepherd on her free speech martyrdom. And it's funny to see mainstream Canadian media be like, no, we knew all along. But they ignored obvious signs of Lindsay Shepherd being a horrible person over and over again, or was announced to be participating in a rebel media event. It only took a year of school to go from, I'm a liberal that has problems with all this pronoun use, to, I'm going to participate in a panel for the rebel media. Like, wow, 8 months. That's quick. That's quick. And it was facilitated heavily by Canadian media, especially like folks like Emmett McFarlane, John Kay, his mama, Barbara Kay, who all supported, and Blatchford even, of course, all supported this event, all gave money for Frances Whittison to speak at Laurier to 18 people. They all paid hundreds of dollars, $450 from Barbara Kay, allegedly. AWOL Radio here on 102.7 CKMS, Radio Waterloo. Dan Keller in studio with you. We will go with the song and come back with some more. We're going to look at Meet Your Local Alt-Right Nazi Scumbags, some audio from Montreal Counter Info. Not going to read the whole piece, but yeah, neo-Nazis, as
well. They weren't members of the Nazi Party in 1939 through 1945, so they're not actually Nazis.
Shut up, John Kay. We don't need you here. Man, that guy, some nerve. Let's go with another cover. This is, of course, the Rebel Spell cover. This is a Rebel Sing, a tribute to Todd Sirius and the Rebel Spell. Just edited this one today. Being a little slow on that. That's okay. This is Evan Catalano with Boy Named Me, which is an Endgame cover.
Look at it changing my philosophy. Good things be better. Well, I cannot say what tears me up pointlessly, constantly, consistently, nearly every day.
Check out MontrealCounterInfo.org, Montreal Meet Your Local Alt-Right Nazi Scumbag. We're going to cover it next week. Check it out. Until then, that was Evan Catalano with Boy Named Me on Rebel Sing. Awesome, awesome, awesome tribute album to the Rebel Spell and Todd Sirius. Canadian Anti-Hate Network is now active. From antiracist.blogspot.ca. For a long time, Anti-Racist Canada has been, for all intents and purposes, the only real show in town when it came to tracking, monitoring, and reporting on racist groups and individuals in Canada that has maintained a long-term presence online. For the past few years, as I've been the only contributor to ARC, and let's face it, Blogger isn't exactly the best platform. A few months ago, however, I perhaps somewhat cryptically alluded to some work being done behind the scenes that would make the work ARC does easier. In fact, I suggested that it would ultimately be in many ways much more effective than ARC. I'm very happy to see that the hard work of a lot of people has now borne fruit. And here is the press release from the Canadian Anti-Hate Network. Friday, May 4th, 2018. New anti-hate organization calls on Canadian law enforcement to investigate and prosecute an alleged neo-Nazi recruiter operating in Montreal. Toronto. A new anti-hate organization is calling on Canadian law enforcement agencies to fully investigate a neo-Nazi who is reportedly recruiting from his home in Montreal. According to an investigation by the Montreal Gazette, a prominent neo-Nazi figure and propagandist named Ziegler has been exposed as Canadian Gabriel Sawyer Chaput, living in Montreal, Quebec. Quote, we cannot overstate how important it is to stand up to neo-Nazis like Zeiger, who are producing radicalization materials aimed at teenagers, and defend the use of violence, said Evan Ballgard, executive director at the Canadian Anti-Hate Network, or CAN, CAN. CAN has been conducting its own month-long parallel but separate investigation into Zeiger. Quote, we are confident that there is a basis for criminal charges to be laid against Chaput, says Ballgard, continuing. We look forward to assisting the ongoing investigations into Zeiger's activities and the alt-right movements in Canada. CAN is a nonpartisan nonprofit which brings together Canada's foremost researchers on hate groups and hate crimes, legal experts, and leaders in communities targeted by hate groups. Domestic hate groups are a growing threat in Canada, yet up until now there has been no organization to counter groups like the alt-right neo-Nazis, Soldiers of Odin, Northern Guard, Blood and Honor, and the Worldwide Coalition Against Islam, said Bernie Faber, founding board member and chair of the new organization. Faber is the former head of the Canadian Jewish Congress and of the Mosaic Institute. The mass killings carried out by Alexander Bissonnette and Alec Manassian demonstrate how dangerous these hateful ideologies are to all Canadians, added Farber. CAN's mandate to research, monitor, expose, and counter hate groups in Canada, to provide information to journalists, law enforcement, policymakers, and community organizations, and to provide education and raise awareness of hate groups in Canada. CAN has been endorsed by the renowned U.S.-based Southern Poverty Law Center, and will operate as a similar but independent Canadian organization. Antihate.ca? You know, working with cops. But they're also working with journalists and everybody else, and they're doing good work. They're doing the work of anti-racists. They're doing work that Anti-Racist Canada, antiracist.blogspot.ca, anti-racist.blogspot.ca, have been doing for years. And it is good that there is now more people working on this, because the rise of the violent, bigoted right is something to be to organize against. Because we know the results of countries that have an organized, bigoted right. We've seen it in history. And it's okay to bring history into the present context while looking at how things have happened, looking at similar patterns, looking at what people are talking about. Yeah, well, radio, oh, we only have a minute left on the show. Won't get to that piece either. MTLCounterInfo.org, report back from the 28 Clack Mayday demo. Check that out too. Check out this piece from Antifa that posted, Montreal, meet your local alt-right Nazi scumbags. And there's a video that we'll try to play next week with some interviews that we are getting. Oh, and Montreal area anti-racists are organizing a demonstration in Rosemont La Petite Patrie this Saturday against the presence of notorious Nazi organizer Gabriel Sawyer Chaput, who lives in the neighborhood. The community call-out is included below.